Good evening, everyone. The ordinance committee is open at 6:11. Councilman Sinapi is not here at this time, so I'm going to sit in for him. If I could get the acceptance for the minutes for the February 7th.
Move to accept.
Second.
Moved and accepted. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. First up is a PCO 2-22, an ordinance relative to amendments of Amendment B, Comprehensive Plan. Can I get a recommendation to move this to the public hearing?
Recommend to move to the public hearing.
Second.
Okay, the hearing will be. Okay, it's been moved and second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Number two this evening is PCO 3-22, an ordinance amending Appendix X zoning ordinance. Can I get a motion to move this to the public hearing?
Move to public hearing.
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Number three this evening is PCO 5-22, an ordinance requiring collective bargaining agreement contracts submitted to the City Council for ratification to be presented with complete drafts in clean and red line formats. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So I'll just read the additions into the record. So it's to provide a clean draft of the complete contract and a red line draft of the complete contract showing the changes in the most recent contract in effect, with deleted languages appearing in red color with strike through and new language appearing in blue color with underline. This is very important to anyone who is sitting on this council today, tomorrow, or otherwise. Over the years, we have had to request the full version or the current version of a contract in order to compare what is the new language, what are the deletions. That becomes extremely time consuming when you have to be going back and forth from one document to another to try and understand what took place or what is taking place currently, what is going to be changed going forward, both in new language and deleted language. Oftentimes in a contract, there's trade-offs, which is why they call them contract negotiations. There's trade-offs where one thing is increased, but something else may be decreased. There may be items that are eliminated altogether and new items added in. I feel it's very important that when the City Council receives a new contract, it's inclusive of the current contract and any of those changes to be identified the way it is now. It'll make it very simple, or certainly a lot easier for us to be able to back into what's there now and look at what's changing, or simply just to sit there and decide whether or not or why some of those proposed changes are taking place. In the past, it has not been uncommon for us, and I'm sitting here now in my fifth term, it's not uncommon for us to only receive language of the proposed changes. Well, it's pretty difficult to be able to rationalize or understand or disagree or approve changes if you don't know what the original language was in the first place. It's time consuming to have to reach out to get these documents, to print them all out if you're not internet savvy, such as this council person. And to me, it just makes all the sense in the world that we have the current contract inclusive of deletions and inclusions into that contract. Makes it a lot easier for us to review it, makes it a lot easier for us to understand it, makes it a lot easier for us to reach out for any questions that we may have. We shouldn't have to be flipping through pages of different documents to be able to fully understand what the impact is of the proposed contract that we'll be ratifying. And having said that, Mr. President, I would ask for the support of the committee on this item. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilman Latta, sir. So I agree with the councilman. I think this is a productive item. It makes it clearer. It gives it so we can everyone can follow it. We'll also make this available to the public as well when the next collective bargaining agreements come forward. Any questions from members of the ordinance committee?
Mr. President, if I may, anyone who would like to co-sponsor on this, including yourself, I'd be very happy to have any co-sponsors sign on. Thank you.
Great. Councilman Ricks would like to co-sponsor?
Yeah. Yep.
Councilman McElroy would like to co-sponsor as well. Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Councilman Gephardt.
Not so much a question, just a brief statement that I mean, this is really good common sense, very helpful. Being in my first term and having just gone through a couple of these, I've seen that sometimes we do get what you're describing, and it's incredibly helpful to have a full document that shows what's changed and what was there before. And sometimes we don't, and then you have to piece it together on your own. So I think consistency is key here. So I commend the councilman for the legislation, and I would like to be added if you'd have me as a co-sponsor. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Also, I would just add that this is something for us that can change. So as you've heard me say in the past, the mayor's office changes over time. All of our seats change over time. So because there is cooperation today, and there is, things change. Positions change. Council people change. This will codify it, in fact, as a requirement, and then it's not left up to politics. You all know I'm a major supporter of getting rid of the politics and just deal with the business. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the public on PCO 5-22? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
Moved in second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you very much. And the ordinance committee closes at 6:19. The next committee will take place is the Public Safety Committee, and that is set to start whenever the chairman is ready. Thank you.
Good evening. Public Safety will come to order. 6:22. First is the acceptance of the minutes. Do we have a motion from February 23rd?
Move to accept minutes of February 23rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Item number one, PCR 29-22, a resolution in regards to erecting stop signs on Bellevue Avenue where it intersects with Conn Street and Astral Street. Councilman Ricks.
Simple item, and it's supported by a traffic study. I'm available for any questions or comments.
Any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Seeing none, do we have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The Public Safety Committee meeting ends at 6:23.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The next committee that will meet is the Intergovernmental Committee, and that is able to start.
Good
It is now 6:24, and the Intergovernmental Committee will now begin. The first order is business, the acceptance of minutes from the committee meeting held on January 19th, 2022.
Move favorable second. Action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
The first item on the agenda is PCR 30-22, a resolution in opposition to legislation prohibiting single-family residential zoning in municipalities with populations over 20,000. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Chairman. So I'll just read from the draft language itself. House Bill 6638 and Senate Bill 2340. It's legislation that's pending in the General Assembly that would prohibit single-family residential zoning in municipalities with populations over 20,000 and mandate the adoption of zoning regulations for middle housing and single-family residential zones. It would also mandate that the model middle housing ordinance be created by the State Building Code Standards Committee would override local ordinances, should municipal governing bodies fail to amend their comprehensive plan to provide for middle housing by January 30th, 2023. The bill would usurp the traditional zoning powers of cities and towns to comprehensively regulate, and on a local level, the land use in their communities would overtax local communities' availability to provide adequate public safety measures and other necessary municipal services. I think that the city of Warwick is quite capable of taking care of our own residential properties, our own residential needs, and certainly having control over our zoning, et cetera. I don't feel that we need, nor should we have, the General Assembly intervening in the day-to-day business of cities and towns. And it's for these reasons that I had docketed this item, as some of our other cities and towns have done as well. It is co-sponsored by Councilman Foley, Councilman Sinapi, Councilman Gebhardt, and at this time I would respectfully request any other co-sponsors that would like to sign on to this item, and let's get it up to the General Assembly. Thank you.
Anyone like to sign on? Okay. Council President?
Councilman, may I be added as a co-sponsor?
Yes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely, thank you.
And you also added? Well, I'd like to be added. Anyone on the committee want to speak on it?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I agree with Councilman Lattiser on this. I was also like to be added as a co-sponsor, and I agree that this is an overreach. I have talked to some members of the Warwick delegation up at the State House, and they are not in support of this. They believe, as I do, as Councilman Lattiser indicated, that, you know, Warwick should decide what our neighborhoods and communities should look like. And that's an important part of what we do. And so I'm glad that we are doing a resolution opposing this legislation. And I would like to be added as a co-sponsor. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President.
Any other questions from the committee? Mr. Ricks.
Thank you. Reading over, and I'm looking at House Bill 6638. Unfortunately, I cannot join in support of Councilman Lattiser's resolution. I think that, and this is not because I oppose single-family housing, but for different reasons. Specifically, the resolution states, the resolution in front of us here tonight states that House Bill 6638 and its Senate counterpart would prohibit single-family dwellings or single-family housing, but that, excuse me, that is not actually what House Bill 6638 would do. Under our current zoning ordinances, excuse me, under our current zoning ordinances, if a property owner or developer, in cooperation with the property owner, desires to build a duplex or similar on land that is zoned for single-family housing, they would have to go to the zoning board to request relief to build that duplex or similar middle housing, whether it's a three-unit, four-unit, row houses, that sort of item. This is all notwithstanding the various dimensional requirements. Dimensional requirements such as frequently here in Warwick, say 20 feet of front yard, 20 feet backyard or larger, 5 feet each side setbacks, setbacks such as that, other requirements such as without a special variance, not able to build a third story, height restrictions. We have all sorts of different restrictions on the books that if anyone wants to build in excess or beyond what's allowed by those dimensions with the setbacks, the height, etc., they have to come in front of the zoning board in order to accomplish that. Similarly, under our current zoning, as well as the zoning for many of these other cities and towns that have a population of over 20,000, by my quick look up online, it seems that 19 of the 39 cities and towns across Rhode Island would fall into that category, along with Warwick being one of those 19. The standard that's used across most, if not all, of these 19 cities and towns is that single-family zones are very common. There are very few zones where duplexes or the like are actually encouraged. So the intent of this House Bill, number 6638, is to expand, in a way, expand the areas where it would be acceptable without having to go to the zoning board to be able to build a duplex on your own property. Essentially, the default across these 19 cities and towns, and in Warwick in particular, is that if you want to build a duplex, you have to go to the zoning board. If you want to build a single family house, then as long as it's within all of the other restrictions, you don't have to go to the zoning board. What this basically does is it switches that default so that now if you want to build a duplex, then as long as you're meeting all of those other requirements, you don't have to go in front of the zoning board. If you want to build a single family, then you do have to go to the zoning board. However, with this particular bill, I'm referring to House Bill 6638, looking at the second page, lines 28 through 29, it expressly states, this section does not prohibit local governing bodies from permitting single-family dwellings in areas zoned for single-family dwellings. So the language of that House Bill itself makes clear that they are not trying to outlaw single-family housing. It's a matter of trying to make it simpler for property owners to build a duplex on their own property if they want to. And yes, it would also make it a little bit harder for property owners to build a single family house on their own land if they wanted to. And I think that a debate can be had over whether our current system of forcing property owners to go to the zoning board just to build a duplex is really merited across so many of the neighborhoods that are zoned single-family housing here in Warwick, including areas such as Norwood. Vast majority of the Norwood neighborhood, part of Ward 2, is zoned for single-family housing. But if anyone takes a drive through the Norwood neighborhood, or even better, a walk through the beautiful Norwood neighborhood, they'll see many multifamily housing, much multifamily housing, all of which was constructed before the modern zoning ordinances. And I certainly don't think that the various duplexes and the like in the Norwood neighborhood do anything to detract from the quality of life in the neighborhood. So for those reasons, although I'm not stating that I'm in full support of what House Bill 6638 is attempting to do, I think that it should be easier for people to build duplexes on their own land. But I also don't think that we should necessarily require people to go to the zoning board if they simply want to build a single family residence on their own land either, so long as it's in conformance with all of the other standards. I'm going to effectively stay neutral on House Bill 6638. I think that if it were to move forward, it would need some more refining. And it does appear that that is what is happening up at the General Assembly. Without having any inside knowledge or speaking with the sponsors up at the General Assembly, I do see on the House Bill tracker that back in mid-February, the hearing in front of the House Municipal Government and Housing Committee had been postponed at the request of the sponsor. I would presume because the sponsor of the bill wanted to refine it more. So for those reasons, I think that it would be premature for us to pass a resolution opposing House Bill 6638 at this time. And for those reasons, I would intend to vote against the resolution. Thank you.
Council President.
Thank you. I just want to add that the League of Cities and Towns is also against this bill. Again, the local zoning should be done on the local level. So thank you.
Councilman Larissa.
Thank you, Chairman. So the intent here is to oppose this proposed action on a city and town. It's plain and simple. We're quite capable of creating our own zoning. We're quite capable of figuring out where to put housing and where not to put housing. Perhaps, Councilman Ricks, you may feel better about this if on line 20 it says General Assembly that would prohibit, would you feel more inclined to support the general concept of opposing this burden on cities and towns if we change that word would, W-O-U-L-D, to may prohibit?
Actually, yes, I could get behind that.
Thank you. That's all I have, Chairman.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Sure. I guess I'd have to request an amendment. Or you guys do it.
Any questions from the public? Council President.
Thank you. I'd like to make an amendment. I believe it was line 22. We change would, the General Assembly that would, and we'll change that to may.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I have a Okay, I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I move favorable action as amended.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, the Intergovernmental Committee adjourns at 6:39.
The next committee is appointments.
The time is now 6:40. The council on the committee on appointments comes to order. First up, we have acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on February 7th. Do I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. Motion, second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Sorry? You said
the 23rd,
right? I said.
Oh,
you're in public safety. Yeah. Seventh. Yep. Okay. We have four. Items on the agenda tonight. All are reappointments of sitting members of their respective boards and commissions. So first up is the Historic District Commission, Donna Blue Tobin. You will find the form signed by the mayor as well as the biographical sketch in your packet. This is Are there any questions for members of the committee? Members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, do I have a motion?
Move to reappoint.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Second up, same commission, Historical District Commission, Ginny Leslie. As similar as to before, the paperwork is all in order. Do I have any questions from the committee? From the council? From the public? Do I have a motion?
Move to reappoint.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving right along, we are now into the Sewer Authority. Again, this is a reappointment. Gary Marino. Paperwork is all in order and in front of you. Do I have any questions for members of the committee? Members of the council? Councilman Lettiser.
There you go. That's my name. Thank you, Chairman. No, I don't have any questions. I would just like to comment on Mr. Marino. I have attended, as most of you know, lots of sewer committee meetings. We had a 9-year uphill task in getting those sewers finally underway in Bayside, much needed, 30 years overdue sewers. There was a whole host of issues that came up during those 25, 30 years, and during the 9 years that I was trying to get this done. And Mr. Marino, along with his colleagues on the Sewer Authority, they didn't leave one stone unturned, not one stone, to moving this project forward. And Gary played a significant role on the construction aspect of it, the business aspect of it, et cetera, et cetera. And along with the other appointments that we have tonight and appointments we've done recently, that's where this is at. It's about appointing people who not only are willing to serve on these committees, but are talented and experienced and knowledgeable and skilled in the particular board or commission, or in this case, the Sewer Authority that they're going to serve on. Mr. Marino is certainly one of those individuals. I wish he was in Ward 5, but he's not. But I won't hold that against him. And I will be very, very happy to support his reappointment. He's done a great job. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
Move to reappoint.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And lastly, Sewer Board of Review, Carter Thomas. Similarly, the paperwork in front of you is all in order. Do I have any questions for members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? Seeing none, do I have a motion?
Move to reappoint.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That is all the business of the Appointments Committee. Adjourned at 6:45. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. That concludes the committees this evening. We will be back here at 7 o'clock. We cannot start early. We don't run into that situation where we ever have to worry about that very often, but we cannot start early. So at 7 o'clock, we will start the full City Council meeting. So we will see you at 7 o'clock.